Hello and welcome to PodCatalyst. I'm Peter Finn, Executive Director at IABC, or the International Association of Business Communicators. And for this episode, I got a chance to talk with Zaria Parvez. Zaria is actually one of the spotlight speakers at this year's World Conference in Toronto. A little about Zaria. She is Duolingo's Global Social Media Manager, leading social strategy, community management, and creator partnerships across all major social platforms. She spearheaded the development of Duolingo's TikTok account, and as a direct result of Zaria's work on the company's TikTok strategy and execution, their now famous channel grew from 50,000 followers in September 2021 to 5.1 million today, and was recently recognized as Ad Age's top five brand TikTok accounts. So what started as a test has become Duolingo's most successful social buzz and word of mouth initiative to date. More broadly, Zaria is a role model for a new diverse class of Gen Z social media talent and has proven what's possible when given creative freedom and trust in the work she does, which we talked a little about. And prior to joining Duolingo, Zaria was a student at the University of Oregon, where she majored in advertising, business, and psychology. She was recently named 30 under 30 list for social media. And again, Zaria is a World Conference Spotlight speaker who'll be presenting Keep It Simple, Stupid, Duolingo's Guide to Calculated Risk on Social. It was really fantastic discussion, and I'm so glad Zaria carved out some time to speak with me, and I think you'll really enjoy the interview. So Zaria, thank you so much for joining me for this episode. Really excited to hear you speak at the World Conference. But can you just tell us a little bit how you got started at Duolingo?
Yeah, so I graduated in 2020, and my job at Duolingo was actually my first job out of college. And when I was applying, I was mainly just looking for companies I was interested in. I knew I needed to be in marketing, but I wasn't really like very specific about this type of marketing. And quite honestly, like the social media role was the only role that was open at Duolingo. And I was like, why not? Let's see where I can go with this. I had some experience in media planning, and I applied and I got the role. And this was like March of 2020. So right before the world shut down, while the world was shutting down. So it was a very unique experience doing all of this remote, figuring this out. And like, especially as my first job, like post-grad. Yeah. And then I started right after graduation. And ever since then, it's just been a wild ride of just doing different things on social and seeing how we can keep becoming like an iconic cult brand.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what's been exciting about working with the team since you've been there?
I think the best part is that there's no bad idea, which I know a lot of teams say, but it's actually really cool to like see that come to life. I was literally lowest on the totem pole of our team, and I was able to come up with a strategy and these ideas and actually push them out into the world and see if they stuck. And luckily they did stick. And it was great just to see how I was empowered, I guess, as young talent to like go out and see how far I can go and where things can go.
Yeah. And, you know, I know Duolingo has gotten a lot of attention online because of TikTok. And so, you know, has the platform, I mean, I think we probably all agree, has been an inflection point for the brand and the use of TikTok. I mean, is that seems to be the case. Is that, what's your perspective on that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess yes, but I also feel weird saying that.
Yeah, I know. It's a little tired, so.
Yeah. but yeah, I think it definitely has been a turning point in the sense where people have kind of started to see Duolingo as like a cult brand, like that's in it, that understands and can move at the speed of culture. And I think we're actively in that transition too right now, from going from a brand that just talks about their product to being entertaining. And our TikTok was like the first big pivot into that. What's really awesome is that since our TikTok success, our entire marketing strategy has actually also changed as a company. So now all of our content and anything we put out in the world, from big campaigns to press releases, is all about being social first. And like, how do you make what you're creating go viral? And kind of like a boring slash weird example, but also kind of cool example, is we did a campaign for the World Cup and we needed a press release, and we weren't official partners with FIFA. So when we were talking about the World Cup in this pretty like basic press release, our copywriter took a stab at it and like kind of made fun of like us not actually being like partners with FIFA. So we'd call it like GIFA and like blackout, like all these different things. And it's kind of hard to explain, but it's just like even that small of a thing has been about being social first. And then some news reporter picked up on it and just shared it and thought it was hilarious of like how this press release was written. So I think that is kind of an indication of how I know this is like more of a turning point. And then even beyond that, like when it comes to the talent we recruit, like people who are applying for like an engineering role will be like, we came here because we saw the culture on TikTok and now we want to work here. So it's cool to see like all these different parts of like the ecosystem kind of show and prove that this was a turning point for us.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it, you know, just being kind of playful, mm-hmm. you know, it's just part of the brand. So I can see why that'd be really attractive to someone that's looking for their next career move. So, and why is TikTok, you know, how is it different from other channels? Like, why has it been so great for Duolingo versus, you know, maybe some of the other channels?
I think it's democratized virality, which is a little bit unique compared to other channels. Mm-hmm. The For You page has allowed people who don't have millions of followers or who aren't famous to go viral as well. Like, you don't have to just be the biggest celebrity. And when that happens, I think it became like it created an even playing space for all of us. So like Duolingo, looking back at just our history, we're a language learning app. It's not necessarily like a sexy brand. Like, you're kind of placed with all the education brands. But when we started creating funny content, even though we didn't have that many followers, our stuff would go viral and then we'd gain new followers. So I think that is just the uniqueness of like the algorithm on TikTok. And now we're starting to see other platforms try to mimic that. I don't think it's completely encapsulated like how viral you can really go on TikTok. And I think the other part of it is that TikTok actually leads to like business results, which is the first time we've been able to prove it compared to other social platforms. So like when we have a viral video or a viral even comment on someone else's viral video, we'll actually see an uptick in new users. And a lot of them will attribute to them being on our app because they came from TikTok. So that's also been a really cool dynamic to see that there's just more loyal consumers, I guess, on TikTok.
Yeah. And do you see other companies trying to imitate, you know, what you've been successful at? I mean,
I think it's the mascot. I think that's the funniest indication is a lot of people are starting to incorporate mascots into their content.
Okay.
Which is, I mean, sometimes it works great and sometimes it doesn't. I think for us, it ended up working really great because it was already part of our story. And like this mascot was like, we didn't create it for TikTok. Like, it existed before and it made making the content easier about it. So I think for me, it's like, yeah, it's cool that brands are doing that. But I think everyone has their mascot, like their unique mascot. Doesn't necessarily mean it has to be a physical person in a suit. Like, it can be your own thing. But, and I think the brands that have really taken that on have seen success, but it's definitely a mixed bag.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you think that, you know, using, you know, TikTok, you earn a stronger level of trust that, you know, kind of allows you to kind of shift from, you know, what we probably consider more traditional social media?
Yeah, I think it's all about like, I guess, what your priorities are. Like for us, we wanted to speak to Gen Z because we knew that we were not having that audience. Mm-hmm. So that's honestly why that became a priority. And when we were able to show that we could speak the way they speak and think the way they think, because we had like Gen Z creating content, it became a very like strong trust that they knew that the app was going to be good too. But again, like if your audience isn't Gen Z and you're kind of making these ridiculous jokes and things that seem really unhinged and people don't get it, then it kind of creates that disconnect. So I think it was us just prioritizing like, yes, we want to speak to Gen Z, so let's do it correctly.
Yeah. And just curious, man, I know you're speaking to Gen Z, but I mean, have you seen other sort of movement in terms of generations, you know, folks that are Gen X or boomers, you know, as a result of TikTok? I was just curious.
Unfortunately, no, I don't think. Okay. So. I think maybe like the eldest we go to is like upper millennials. So upper 30s. But honestly, no, we haven't, at least from TikTok. But that's okay. I guess like that was like our objective, was it?
Yeah, no, I was just curious.
Yeah.
And so what are some other brands and organizations that you follow that you think are leaders in the space, especially around TikTok?
Yeah. Scrub Daddy is a great account. They're super fun and engaging. Ryanair, Joe and the Juice has been a really random dark horse lately. They just really flipped their strategy and are doing amazing. It's just like a random juice shop. What else? It's funny because I never, like when I think of brands that I love on TikTok, they're never like the big cult iconic brands, which is interesting. I think it's more of the platform for like small niche brands that just get it to shine.
Yeah. Yeah. And just curious, what are some of the things that you'll be touching on at the World Conference? And it seems like you've been speaking at a few different places. So like, what are some of the things that you've been focusing on in your different sessions?
Totally. So my big thing is like calculated risk and like what it means, like what a calculated risk is and what does it mean to actually implement it in your social strategy. And then another big part, I think that's super unique to Duolingo, is we are in this transition phase where we're going from being like this kind of boring nobody brand to becoming an iconic brand. And like the missteps and the successes and all the things on that journey that led us to that point. And I think what's unique is that it was fueled by young talent, this inflection, versus like top up where it's like the CMO decided it and that was how it's going to be. But they actually gave space for young talent like myself to like shine and be like, this is what we need to change. And they actually listened, which is very hard. Like, I think the hardest thing to change is a mindset. And that's what was needed for this to happen. And it's interesting because we have not spent any really money on TikTok other than like getting Duo's Halloween costume for like a video. And to see this amount of success really just comes down again to that whole mindset. So just discussing all those things of how to convince your boss to change their mindset, or how to take calculated risks, and what it means to actually empower the talent around you if you don't even have the budget just to create great work.
Curious too, like to get your perspective on kind of the future. So like going through this very intense period of, you said March of 2020 to now, what do you think the next few years are going to look like in terms of your work and Duolingo and just kind of the landscape?
Yeah, I think it's going to continue to be definitely more social first. Mm-hmm. I think what is interesting is that I think TikTok is kind of hitting like a lower point now where it's not as viral and as creative an experience that I think it used to be even in the end of 2021. But I think that transition is actually coming to YouTube Shorts, which is really cool to see. So we're starting to experiment more there and see like that really like just authentic, genuine content that I think is what made TikTok great. But I think it's inevitable that all social platforms start monetizing and we'd run into that space. But yeah, I think it's still in short form video content. It's just about how do we optimize organic content to reach our people and for them to see it.
And I was curious too, like, is there anything sort of, you know, through TikTok? I mean, are there things that impact the product? Like, so things that you might hear or reactions that go back to the product development team, and, you know, like there are certain things that occur. So not just, you know, the sort of outreach to folks and but about the product, but, you know, where you're getting feedback about the product.
Totally. Kind of. I would say like maybe like customer service, like not as much. But if we saw that like, okay, people really like Duo's tone of voice of us being a little bit sassy, how do we bring that back to our lessons or like our lesson loading screen? So like even today, like we have a random brainstorm about how to make these little widgets that appear on your phone when you download the app. How do we make them more unhinged and TikTok like?
Yeah.
Or like our blog content. Like I know our blog editor is often tasked with like, all right, make this more in Duo's like sassy tone of voice that we've seen be successful on TikTok. So I think we're starting to integrate all of that kind of stuff. So like not direct customer feedback, but just seeing success and how do we mimic that to make all of our other things that we're doing also be as successful as our TikTok.
Yeah. So just in terms of your career, like what are you looking to do for your next step? Or is this something you want to do for years and years? Or what's, you know, as I can imagine, it's been a very intense period and obviously a very productive period over the last 3 years. But what would you like to tackle in the future? Is there other things?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've always been, I love social media. Like I discovered that love with this job. I didn't know I had that love before. But I think for me, my biggest North Star is just getting more teams and inspiring more teams to just hire young talent and empower them. And like, what does it mean to actually empower talent versus just having a diversity roster being like, oh, we hired these people, and then not actually like giving them the space to create things. And honestly, like, sure, Gen Z is the focus right now, but like in the next couple of years, like Gen Alpha is going to come in. Yeah. So these constant cycles of not just focusing on a generation, but understanding it's across generations that needs this change to be adaptable and like this mindset. Like even when I talk about TikTok, I often say like, yes, maybe Gen Z might have a little bit of a leg up in understanding it, but like at Duolingo, like my number one TikTok partner is actually our legal counsel, who's in his like upper 40s. And is definitely not Gen Z. I think he's like Gen X. Yeah. And he loves TikTok and understands it. Like, so it's these things where we kind of silo ourselves off into these bubbles of who we think we are and what we can do. So my dream is just to help more brands and more people understand that like the only thing you really need to change is like allowing yourself to break through the idea of what you can or can't be. And I think Duolingo is like a perfect case study for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, I have one last question for you. And that is, what gets you up in the morning?
Oh, that's a great question. I love to read, which is like super nerdy and like odd, I guess, for like a lot of marketing people because they're very much extroverts. But my favorite books are actually historical fiction. I think there's always something to learn from history. So right now I'm like learning about Korea's history, which is very niche and random.
Oh, cool.
I love to read.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you speak in Toronto and really appreciate your time.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much, Azaria. That was a great conversation. Really looking forward to seeing her speak in Toronto and just really appreciate her time and just, you know, her perspective. So with that, we'll have some more episodes coming up in June. And thanks so much for listening.